where nations own their noses to God. That's one of the things we're going to talk about here. So Psalms 1, they say, was written in 444 B.C. And then Psalms 2, written sometime after 1 Chronicles 17:27 was written, and in the year 1044. And now, understand, well, these are the estimates. There's no, this was written on this day. So, basing it on the facts of what was spoken about in Psalms and what was presented there. And this, there's a lot in this one little psalm of 12 verses. And I'm going to read it first, and then we'll go back and break it down. Why do the heathen rage, and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and rulers take counsel together against the Lord, and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder, and cast away their cords from us. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like potter's vessels. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. If the Son must be angry, and he perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. This psalm, because psalms are not chapters, but they're broken by different psalms. I believe this psalm was written by David. That's the common thought pattern. But if you look, the first three verses are pointed to even page. Folks, we see this today. Man hates for the Almighty. And folks, for years and years and years, we always saw that from pocket and splinter groups in America. And now we're seeing it in mainstream religion. We're seeing it from, just this week, I saw some things where they're talking about the fact that the Bible, declaration against the lifestyles of the LGBTQ, they're saying that we've misunderstood that for years, that God doesn't hate that, that we need to allow that into our church. And these same people are saying that where it says women be silent in the church, it's not talking about women need to be silent in the church. They need to be able to preach and pray. Folks, when we start changing the Bible, let's walk out, because all this is a country club. Because what we've done is we've taken the Bible. The Lord has said he does not change. What he said back then still stands today. And if you disagree with me, that's fine, but you're wrong. I'm sorry. You're just wrong, because God said that my word does not change. And I'll tell you, this week today, I've been studying this for about 4 weeks, I think. And every week, as I watch the news and things, I see these things in the news. And at first I saw it nation state level. Different nations coming and know that God, coming in there, know that Israel. And Israel in my seeing is an extension. When you persecute Israel, when you persecute them, you're persecuting God, because that's His chosen people. And I know He's put them to the side right now. Oh, we still need to be in Israel. We need to hope that our country stays in Israel. But more than that, I see religious leaders, I see the Pope, I see the others, I see the folks in the Southern Baptist Convention, thumbing their nose at the Bible, thumbing their nose at God. Folks, this is serious. It's a serious problem, and I think we're heading down the road in America right now where we're in our schools, they're pushing our kids to accept lifestyle. We have to be cautious of that. We have to watch. We have to make sure our kids, our children and grandchildren are raised to know right from wrong so that they don't accept what their teachers are saying when it's wrong. And I know that's, gone a little further than what's in those first few verses of the quote. It has eaten my lunch lately. I have just seen these things where they're just bribing God. They're saying, no, God's wrong. God's not wrong. And as we get further down, we'll see what's going to happen to these people.
Yeah.
We don't have to take action against them because God will take action.
Yeah.
So, and until we were saved, remember, we were in Jesus.
Right.
Remember, we read very God.
Yeah.
And we didn't, most of us who were raised in church, we didn't read very God like a lot of people outside of the church do. But we read very God by disobedience. And that's the exact same thing as a red bearing God. And it just these things are hard when you become a Christian and you see what you did. And you go, boy, I'm glad I'm on the other side of it. But we're going to look at several verses. I'm going to give y'all verses for what I say. Acts 4:25. And I'll give y'all time to get to some of these if I hold up on getting y'all all of them. We won't get done for 3 weeks on this one song. So, Acts 4:25 and 4:26, I think those are important for us to look at what the Bible says on this. He spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. So this is referring right back to Psalms 2, 1 and 3. Why did the nations rage and the people cry in vain? The king of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. His anointed one is coming. He hears talking about Christ. And folks, when you stand against, when you get to rail against God, one, you have no standing. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, in the fact that he will take you like the potter's clay that you are, and he will thrash you and destroy you. So, Spurgeon has a lot to say about Saul, and I'll lift this up and he'll say it here for a truth against the Holy Child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, that the Gentiles and the people of Israel will gather together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before it be done. The psalm begins abruptly with angry interrogation, and well it may, it is surely a little to be wondered at, that the sight of creatures in arms against their God should have made the psalmist smile. So David was seeing this back in his day. We're still seeing it, and I think it's getting worse and worse. We see the hate, even raging, roaring like the sea, tossed to and fro with restless waves, as the ocean in a storm. And then we mark the people in their hearts, imagining the vain thing against God, where there is much rage, there is generally some folly, and in this case, there is an excess of. This shows how the unsaved prevail and prevail against God. Remember, we do also. Before we were saved, we this to raise the Christian tone with their vocalizers. Would you look, turn to Revelation 11:18? We're going to see a lot of references to Revelation. I found a lot of direct cross references out of this psalm in Revelation. You all say Revelation, but it's actually from Revelation. I'm mad about that.
Yet have I set my king on one of
holy door of God. Psalms 21:8 says, your hand will apprehend all your enemies. Your right hand will seize those who hate you. Psalms 21:9, you will place them in a fiery furnace at the time of your appearance. In his wrath, the Lord will exalt them. Fire will consume them. In verse 6, we see Christ's sovereignty. The opposition to it yet, certainty of its existence. Yet have I said, the power which maintains it, have I said, the place of its manifestation, the holy building, the blessing of the Lord. Revelations 14:1, then I looked and saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and there were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. Folks, these are the folks that come out of the tribulation. This is a special group of folks. 12,000 out of the 12 tribes of Judah. And so we'll have Christ's name. The rest of the folks who have not followed God, the number of people still have to make them follow. Genesis 49:10, the scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the staff from between his feet until Shiloh comes, and the allegiance of his nation is given. Exodus 15:7, you will bring them in and plant them on the mountain of your inheritance, the place of the Lord. You have prepared for your dwelling, the sanctuary. O Lord, your hands have established. After he has laughed, he will speak. He needs not smile. Rather, his lips are not. The moment when their power and death is high, and their fury most violent, their child is worth going forth. And what is that he says in the very law of sin? Yet, says he, despite your mouth, despite your tumultuous gift, despite the wisdom of your counsel, despite the craft of your lawgiver, yet have I set my kingdom on that holy ground. He's still in control, and he's still in control today. And these folks who think that they're above God and they know better than God, folks, he's put his leaders inside. He's not put a grand explanation. He's already done that which the enemy seeks to prevent. You must remember that anything God says he will do, it will happen. If there isn't anybody who and one of the things I always like to refer to on this on God's power is the fact that he takes me to the point of salvation and puts me inside his hand. And folks, Satan can't prevail against him. There is nothing that will take me out of God's hand. God will hold me. He will hold me to obedience. And anything that God says is not. Anything that God says he will do, he doesn't say it's not good. He just does it. He's so kind, so omnipotent. But Job's will is done and man's will fret and rage in vain. God will be disappointed and shall not be disappointed. That's a simple encouragement there, and I like that. God will be disappointed and shall not be disappointed. Look back through all the ages of infidelity, hearken to the high, and hard things which men have spoken against the high. Listen to the rolling thunder of earth's body against the majesty of heaven, and then think that God is saying all the while, yet I have set my name. Jesus reigns. He sees the travail of the soul. His unsuffering kingdom yet shall come. And he shall take unto himself his great power. Rain from the river unto the end of the earth. Even now he reigns in Zion, and our lives have sound forth the praises of the Prince of Peace. Greater conflicts may here be foretold. We may be confident that victory will be given to our Lord. Glorious triumphs are yet to come. Hasten them, we pray thee, O Lord. To divine glory and joy that her king is in her, guarding her from foes and filling her with goodness. Jesus sits on the throne of grace and the throne of power in the midst of his church. And him is Zion's death, saved from us. better citizens. Psalms 2:7, as we move on, I will be clearly free, the Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day am I with God. Look at Matthew 3:17, we'll turn there.
Revelations 2:26.
Him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. The vessels of the potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him his own star. He that hath a spirit, let him hear. Let the Spirit say to the churches. But God has control of time and action. Psalms 21:1, O Lord, the King rejoices in your strength, how greatly he exalts him for salvation. Psalms 21:2, you have granted his heart's desire, and cannot withhold your best gift. Look at verse 9. Here in Psalms 2:9, thou shalt greatly exalt his heart's desire. I'm sorry. That's not the moment. Okay. Okay, also with verse 9, Revelations 2:26, which I already read, and 2:27. Revelations 12:5, and she gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter, and her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Right. Revelations 19:15, and from his mouth proceeds a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the light rest of the fury of the wrath of God. Boy, what powerful words of God. We've seen his solutions referred to these Persians, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. These empires of God strike down the sea. As for me, it was a custom among great people give the favor of us, whatever they might ask. CS 5:6, Matthew 4:27. So Jesus has to ask him. He can ask the Father. Here he declares that his very enemies are his inheritance. Their faith, he declares his decree, that love fears Christ in the Lord. He holds the law and has no spear stand except for his power. He has given them this, not only the right to be a king, but the power to conquer. Yes, Jehovah has given to his anointed the body of iron, because he shall break the bed of his nations. And despite that imperial strength, thou shalt be put in poverty. And if you ever study anything in the Mark world, read about poverty, and poverty doesn't like what came out of the town of okay, we'll do is they'll destroy that. And they'll have a pile of visual all that in. And their reason is they don't want their mistakes put out there with their name on. So they'll crush them. God is the same way. And he will do that. They shall be put as potters, as the people who ask you to share with them, a lot of iron is in the hands of the opposite of the Son of God. Those who will not bend must break. Potter's vessels are not to be restored and dashed into pieces, but instead will be focused on Jesus. Psalms 2:10-12, and this is the last section. I'll hurry up and get us through here. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed to be gentle to the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and he perish from the way. And his wrath is kindled from the world. Blessed are all they that their trust in him. The scene changes. Counsel is given to those who have taken counsel. They're exhorted to obey. And give his homage and affection to him whom they have hated. Both of them were saved. When Christ calls us unto him, we're ready to kiss him. We're ready to give him our all. Your heart changes. Your will changes. Your affections change. Be wise, and it is always wise to be willing to be instructed, especially when such instruction tends to salvation. Be wise now, therefore, delay no longer. Delay good reason to wait. Warfare cannot succeed. We cannot succeed against God. Rebellion is futile. You can rebel all you want, but lose. He's the winner. Lay no longer, but lay good reason. way will be more American, therefore, desist in your pure with your count, who will make you bow and repeat your votes, yes, and every tongue will confess that you will. There were some of us that we agreed on, some folks that are going to be at their time of destruction. They're going to be, they're going to be a day length of dollars short when they have to meet on. Oh, how wide, how infinitely wide is obedience to Jesus, and how dreadful is the folly of those who continue to be human. Serve the Lord with fear. Let reverence and humility be the rules of your service. He is a great God, and you are the king of creatures. In you, therefore, is holy worship. Let the law fear and move all your obedience to the great power of Jesus. There must ever be holy fear mixed with Christian fear. Folks, we fear God. We're not to take lightly the presence of the Lord. We're not to take lightly the word. We're to continue to fear that we will, because we are humans, and we still have a human nature, and we still have a sin nature, and we will make mistakes, and we need to fear that. And we need to confess our sins at that point in time and repent. Lord, I'm sorry, I didn't know. The true repentance are the coming from this is a Savior compound with a sweet smell, and I see it when we burn the water upon the altar. Fear with joy is torment and joy, without holy fear will be presumption. Mark the solemn off, argument for reconciliation and obedience. It is an awful thing to perish in the midst of sin. In the very way of rebellion, and yet how easily could his wrath destroy itself? Means not this anger should be stupid, seven times higher, that the fuel point, but a little inheritance in the center takes people's parents of the Lord, for our God, and sin to life.